was growing up, way back then, some of the most popular superheroes of the time would have been Batman and Robin, Spider-Man, Superman, Wonder Woman, not to mention the $6 Million Man and the Bionic Woman. Some of you have never even heard of them, but they were really pretty amazing. But I'm wondering today, who would be your favorite superhero? Who would be your favorite superhero? Get that in your mind. And on the count of three, I'd like everyone to say it out loud who their superhero is, even those that are joining us online or over at our Westside campus. Your favorite superhero, one, two, three. Wow, there's a lot of great superheroes, aren't there? Well, who your favorite superhero would be may have something to do with this next question, which is, if you could have any superpower, what would it be? And most likely it goes along with maybe who your favorite superhero is. Well, today in our series, Majoring on the Minors, we're going to take a look at an Old Testament character who I think really could be considered a superhero. That, you know, I don't believe was ever even on my radar until a guy by the name of Mark Batterson wrote a book with the title, In a Pit with a Lion on a Snowy Day, that recounts the story of Benaiah. If you've never read the book, especially guys, would encourage you, recommend that you read the book. Well, this guy named Benaiah did some pretty amazing things, and yet he receives very little acclaim. And so I want to welcome you to Academy Christian Church today, whether you're here in person for Father's Day or joining us over at our Westside campus or online. Now, a little bit of background for our story for today. David, who eventually became king over Israel, had some mighty men who really became his inner circle of warriors and were really indispensable during his years of hardship when he was fleeing from Saul and fighting the Philistines and defending Israel. And these guys were all courageous, loyal, legendary for their battlefield achievements. And there were what was called the three, who were really just kind of the elite of the elite. They performed extraordinary feats of bravery and skill that, if you would like to, you can actually read about in 2 Samuel chapter 23. Then there was also the 30. You know how creative they were in the naming there, the three and the 30. Who distinguished themselves as premier fighters, and while not quite on the level of the three, were still fierce and formidable, and Benaiah happened to be one of those 30. And so let's go ahead and read a little bit about Benaiah in 2 Samuel chapter 23, verses 20 through 23. Here's what it says. Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, a valiant fighter from Kabzeel, performed great exploits. He struck down Moab's two mightiest warriors. He also went down into a pit on a snowy day and killed a lion. He struck down a huge Egyptian. Although the Egyptian had a spear in his hand, Benaiah went against him with a club. He snatched the spear from the Egyptian's hand and killed him with his own spear. Such were the exploits of Benaiah, son of Jehoiada. He too was as famous of the three mighty warriors. He was held in greater honor than any of the 30, but he was not included among the three. And David put him in charge of his bodyguard. See, when King David looked over Benaiah's resume, he said, I want that guy to be in charge of the Secret Service. And after hearing about what Benaiah did, I think I would want him to be in charge of my bodyguard if I had one. Well, what we just read was that Benaiah once actually killed a lion. And man, it had to be pretty amazing. He went down into a pit on a day when snow had fallen, and he killed a lion. Now, I'm pretty sure that none of us would want to face a lion in any setting, let alone that one. And one of the reasons I know that to be true for me is because a few years ago when I got to go to Africa, we were out driving in the wild out there and came across a lion that close to us. We fortunately were in a car, keeping the windows rolled up about as far as we could, because you're like, wow, I would not want that thing to come after me. So let's do a little test here today. Let's talk about lion versus human. Who has the advantage? And so let's start from a physical perspective. A lion possesses a strong muscular body, huge paws, sharp claws, a massive mouth, major teeth, and a powerful bite. And so I'd say I'd give that one to who? Probably the lion, yeah. Well, how about from a location perspective, which was in a pit? A closed space, you can't get away. Nowhere to run, nowhere to hide. Literally just you versus the lion. So what do you think? Advantage you or the lion? Probably going to go with the lion. And so what had just recently happened was that it had snowed. And so it's this cold, snowy, slippery day. And so from a conditions perspective, who are you going to give the advantage to? Probably again the lion. That's three strikes against any human being who would face a lion in a pit on a snowy day. Now, I got to be honest. If it was me, I think I would just would have laid down and prayed that it ended quickly. Got over as soon as possible. But what that verse actually says is that Benaiah intentionally went down into the pit on purpose. And he makes the choice to go after the lion under those conditions. And honestly, that's nuts. Now, when you make a choice like that, there's only two possible endings to that story. Either the crazy guy named Benaiah gets killed by a lion, or this amazingly brave dude kills the lion. Of course, we already know, and the winner is Benaiah, because he killed the lion. And what I'd like us to do to highlight today is what I would call the bravery of Benaiah. None of us are probably going to have to face anything like that, but I want us to just kind of highlight his bravery. He faced, first of all, two mighty men of Moab, then joined a lion in a pit on a snowy day and killed. And if that wasn't enough, he took on a giant and then grabbed his spear and killed him with it. And then he was selected and protected both King David and King Solomon. Now, I don't know about you, but I've always been a little bit enamored, enthralled, interested in bravery. Anybody else bravery? Because I just think to myself, what is it that makes some people brave? What causes some people to step up and step in when others are cowering when facing the same situation? I mean, what causes some to run towards danger when most people run away? Now, when I say that, of course, it makes me think of the military, the police, the fire department, medical professionals, those first responders who, when things get difficult and everybody else is running away, they're all running towards. And it's just not likely that any of us are ever going to face anything quite like Benaiah, at least hopefully. But my guess would be that some of you have maybe encountered some pretty amazing people in this world that we could call lion chasers of a different kind in their own right. Because I think we've all seen people who maybe experienced something in their life that was pretty horrific, or maybe they get a cancer diagnosis, or life just seems to kind of beat them up. And while there are some people, when they encounter that, they might cower, we've maybe hopefully seen those people who have this amazing ability to get in the pit with a lion or face a giant, whatever it would be, with incredible dignity and courage. And so what is it? I wonder, what is it that makes these people so brave? Well, I'm convinced that these lion chasers, as we're going to call them, have at least a few things in common with Benaiah that hopefully we could glean from in his story. And so let me just kind of clarify today. When I talk about a lion chaser, here's the definition that I'm thinking of. A lion chaser is someone who moves towards their fears instead of away from them. I mean, they're even going to lean in and move towards their fears instead of away from them. Now, since I'm bringing up fear, I think I also need to clarify something. And what I want to clarify is that, you know, there's a difference between fear and danger. And we need to sometimes have a better idea of what that is. Because danger, as you know, is external and objective. And it refers to a real present threat of risk or of harm. For an example, if a bear is approaching your campsite, that is a real danger. Fear, on the other hand, is more internal and subjective. Fear is kind of your emotional response to a perceived threat, whether real or imagined. And so, for example, you might feel some fear when you're walking through a dark alley, even though there's no actual danger there. And you got to know that God doesn't ever promise to remove all the danger from our lives. But he does promise that he's going to be present in the middle of that danger. And so faith doesn't deny danger. It just refuses to let fear have the final word. And I kind of find it interesting that there's a command in the Bible that appears in one form or another over 300 times. In fact, it's the most often repeated command in all of Scripture. And does anybody know what it is? Yeah, it's do not be afraid, also stated fear not, or do not fear. Now, I think that's a kind of a challenging command because we do know fear is a natural human response. And it's helpful when it alerts us to possible dangers, reminds us that we're not in control. But we got to recognize that fear is not always aligned with reality. And that's when actually faith needs to step in. And so, for example, in Isaiah 41:10, it reminds us that God's presence should always be more significant than the fear that danger stirs within us. Because it says, do not fear, for I am with you. The writer of Psalms actually says it this way in Psalm 56:3. When I am afraid, God, I put my trust in you. And so if you would today, I'd like for you to picture someone who's standing really on the edge of a very deep canyon. And there's a rope bridge that stretches across to the other side. And it looks kind of old, and it sways in the wind. It actually looks kind of terrifying. And the person that's standing there, their heart races, fear grips them. Every instinct within them says, don't do it, or you might fall. But then you see this local guide walks confidently across the bridge, gets to the other side, turns around and calls back, it's strong, I've crossed it 100 times, trust it and trust me. Now here's the truth. The person really isn't in danger. The bridge has held others. But I'm guessing their fear is still very real. And so their decision now isn't about the bridge's safety. It's about whether they will allow fear to freeze them or faith to move them. And you know, often in life, God asks us to do things that might cause a little fear. Maybe to take some steps of obedience or forgiveness or trust that feel like walking across that rope bridge, a little bit scary and uncertain. And fear is going to be speaking into our minds. You're going to fall. But Jesus is already on the other side, and he's calling out, no, it's safe. I've walked that path before. You can trust me. And I say that to us this morning because really, oftentimes the path to God's plan for your life, the path to your best potential, who you were really meant to be, often runs straight through fear. And so you're going to have to choose to chase the lion into the snowy pit, so to speak, or you actually may never get to where God wants you to be and where you need to be. And so I would want you today to start thinking about what your lion is in your life. What is that thing that is holding you back because of fear? And then what are you actually going to do about it? And so I thought we'd try to address the question today. How does one become a lion chaser? And remember, a lion chaser is one who moves towards their fears instead of away from them. Because what if the life that you really want or the future that God wants for you is hiding right now behind your biggest challenge or your greatest fear? And I'm convinced that those who become lion chasers, they actually have a couple of things in common with what we could learn from Benaiah's story. The first one, I think, would have to be is that Benaiah, he did not start off chasing lions or fighting them. And so the first lesson I think we can learn is that a lion chaser must train and prepare. You got to train and prepare. Now, there's no way of knowing exactly how Benaiah trained and prepared for the incredible feats that he accomplished. But we do know, we're almost guaranteed, he didn't just show up at the moment without any preparation at all. I mean, honestly, there had to be hours of training, hand-to-hand combat that definitely paid off, especially when Benaiah struck down Moab's two mightiest warriors. And that might have been why maybe the lion didn't seem quite as intimidating. And after taking down a lion in a pit on a snowy day, the giant that he faced with a club as his only weapon maybe didn't scare him as much either. And so Benaiah trains, and he's faithful, and he tackles new and different challenges, and then he gains more confidence. And I got to tell you, I don't know how many times I've witnessed as a pastor people going through very hard times. Sometimes it's from a difficult diagnosis to a personal struggle, maybe to a marriage falling apart. And suddenly they're in what looks like an impossible place. And you know what the problem is? They haven't done anything to train. They haven't done any training. And all of a sudden their faith is pushed to the brink, and they haven't done anything to get stronger. They've spent very little time in their Bible. They haven't really learned how to pray. They haven't grown. They haven't trained up their faith. They haven't connected with a faith community. And I think it'd probably be obvious to everybody here, it's not very helpful to try to start your training when you're in the pit. I mean, it's best to start your training before you get in the pit. So I just want to remind you today, I'm guaranteeing you, there's going to be some lions that you're going to face down the road. And the best time to be developing healthy spiritual habits is when you're not in the pit. You start those habits before you get in the pit. You start those habits before you face the giant. That way you're more prepared. That's one of the reasons why the Apostle Paul, when he was counseling his young apprentice Timothy, wrote to him very seriously in 1 Timothy chapter 4 and said, "Hey, Timothy, have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, you train yourself to be godly." Make sure you're training. And physical training is of some value, yes, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. And I've watched so many in our cultures when I drive by Lifetime Fitness or other gyms where people are at, and there's a lot of people who are spending hours and hours in the gym getting physically fit, but are likely spending only a few seconds or a few minutes actually getting spiritually fit for the battles that were to come. But I also want to say, while I've seen people who weren't prepared, I've also witnessed people whose faith has gotten pushed to the brink, who didn't fall apart because they had a firm foundation. They had trained themselves to be godly. And I could think of a lot of people today, but one of them I just want to mention happens to be Richard Crabtree. He used to be the pastor here a number of years ago, retired. He's stuck around. He's still active, involved. He's actually 97 years old, and he was here at our first service. And I remember watching his life as a pastor when I was at another church here in Colorado Springs, and Dick was serving here as the pastor. And as he was getting to the point where they were going to be ready to retire, his wife, June, was diagnosed with cancer, went through a long battle, and eventually passed away. And I wondered, wow, what's that going to do to Dick? Well, Dick actually got up and did most of her funeral service, talked about her faith, about his faith, about what God meant in the midst of that. And I went, wow, I don't know that that's even something I could do. And if that wasn't enough, Dick and June only had one son, Steve, who a few years later after that, in his 50s, also passed away, his only family. And again, I watched Dick go through that service, helped him with that service, and he had a foundation, but only because he had spent the time in preparation. And see, I think we've got to recognize faith is actually developing the discipline of placing God between you and your circumstances. It's instead of letting your circumstances hit you, you put God in between. And so faith is essentially rewiring your brain. And neurologically speaking, that's what we do when we choose to place God between ourselves and our circumstances. And you got to know, faith really is a lot like a muscle. The more you use it, the stronger it gets. Well, the second lesson I think we can learn from Benaiah is that a lion chaser actually accepts the circumstances that they are presented with. See, I would think that Benaiah would have rather faced a lion on his own terms in better conditions, because in a pit on a snowy day is never going to be ideal circumstances. But he says, I can't wait for that. And I just want to encourage all of us. The hard truth might be, maybe the snowy day in a pit with a lion is exactly where we need to be. You know, so often our prayer when we go through difficult times is, Lord, get me out of this, would you? Take it away. I don't want to have to deal with this. And don't feel bad. I think, honestly, that's natural. But we got to recognize the truth is how we look at that is so important. Your explanations are actually more important than your experiences. Because while you can't always control your experiences, you can always control your explanations, how you interpret those things. In fact, that's why I think in James, the writer there, he wrote these words in chapter 1, verse 2. He said, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Let that be your explanation, because God has a plan in mind. And there's a statement that I often have to make to myself and I would make to you today. Because what if, folks, your current circumstances are actually a custom-ordered curriculum for your highest development? You know, I'm guessing that when David had to face Goliath, that really wasn't something that he was looking forward to doing. But, you know, God used that experience to grow him as a leader. And so what I would want to say to all of us today would be, hey, instead of only asking God to get you out of your difficult circumstances, maybe you should also be asking him what he actually wants you to get out of those difficult circumstances. And please understand, I think it's okay to pray, Lord, take this away from me. Because you do remember how Jesus prayed when he was in the garden with what he was facing in Luke 22. What did he pray? Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me. And yet the way Jesus ended that prayer was significant. He said, yet not my will, but what you want to be done. And so, again, here's the hard truth sometimes, folks. Maybe the snowy day with a lion is exactly where you need to be. And I got to tell you, that's something that God has shown me over the last few years. And so maybe God has you going through difficult things to prepare you for greater challenges that are coming down the road. Or maybe in order to show grace and favor as an example to people that are watching you while you're in the pit. And then the third thing I think we could learn from Benaiah would be this. A lion chaser almost always knows another lion chaser or two. And the reason they get to be lion chasers together is because they know other lion chasers. I love what the proverb writer says in Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. And I think we see clear evidence of that in the Old Testament around this time, because you got to recognize that there weren't any other giant slayers in Israel until David killed Goliath. There weren't any others. See, before David killed Goliath, no one thought it was possible. But then David showed them otherwise, and then after that fact, we read about this giant slayer and this giant slayer and that giant slayer. See, courage and bravery of some people can be an inspiration to others. It's interesting. The Apostle Paul and his ministry ended up in jail, in prison one time. And I want you to notice people watched him going through that. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 14, Paul actually writes and says, hey, because of my chains, most of the brothers and sisters have become more confident in the Lord and dare all the more to proclaim the gospel without fear. And so I would just want to say to you today, if you feel weak or if you feel like you're just not brave enough for what you're going through, look up some brave people that might be around you. See, people you want to get around who've learned to put God between them and their circumstances. People who don't run from their lions, but chase after them. Surround you with some people who can tell you their story. I think for Benaiah, that person was a guy like Abishia, who was a brother of Job and actually was chief of the three that I mentioned earlier. And that guy actually killed in one battle 300 men with a spear. And I'm thinking that guy must have encouraged Benaiah, said, hey, Benaiah, I did it. You can face your giant. So get some of those brave people around you. Maybe like a Richard Crabtree. But I would imagine if you're in a connect group, share your story, share what you're facing. And you know what you're going to find probably is some other people who have faced that lion and could encourage you in a special way. Another thing I'd encourage you to do would just be read some of the biographies of some of our heroes of faith over the years. People like Elizabeth Elliot and Hudson Taylor and Corey Ten Boom and George Mueller and others. And you read their stories and you may find in yourself a strength you didn't know you had. And the reason we need to do this is because, you know, the average person doesn't do that. Which is why the average person doesn't go into a snowy pit to face a lion. And you know what else? The average person doesn't live that much by faith in God either. The average person today actually has lots of fears that dominate their life. And they have a lot of regrets. And the average person honestly prays tame, safe, predictable prayers to a tame, safe, predictable God. And yet more often than not, again, the path to God's plan and your potential may be lying on the other side of fear. So what fear might God be calling you to push through so that his divine assignment can be unleashed in your life that you won't experience if you don't? I mean, it could be that there's this ministry bubbling up inside of you. It's a burden that's a holy, righteous cause. And you keep pushing it down because it feels scary. It feels intimidating. And fear keeps you from becoming a lion chaser. Now, part of the reason why I really love the story of Benaiah, honestly, is that he lived his life in a way that was actually worth telling stories about. And I'm just guessing that when they'd be sitting around the campfire at night, those guys would say, hey, Benaiah, tell us the story of being in a pit with a lion on a snowy day again and again. And so let me just ask you, I'll leave you with this question today. Are you living your life in a way that's worth telling stories about? Not if you just want to be comfortable. I got to share with you, in the 40 plus years that I've been in ministry, one of the things I've learned is that a good funeral is a lifetime in the making. If you go to a good funeral, you know why it was a good funeral? Because that person lived a life with stories that were worth telling. And what is it that's holding us back? For some of us, it may be an obedience issue. Maybe for you, it's something that God's either asking you to do or stop doing. And you know it, but you're afraid of what would happen if you decide to live by faith instead of fear. What's the lion that you need to chase? I mean, who knows? Maybe your story might sound something like my story I mentioned earlier. How God, he used circumstances more painful, more challenging, and fearful than almost anything I've experienced in ministry to do a work in my heart that could have never been possible without it. And it doesn't have to be that dramatic. Maybe it would just be for some of you, you would be able to say, you know what? I committed to regular scripture reading this year. And I've never felt closer to God. Or it might be you saying, hey, after years of struggling with anxiety, I got some help. And now I'm walking in freedom that I didn't think was possible. Or it could be this. I forgave someone who deeply hurt me, and I begin to pray for them regularly, something I never thought I could do. Or how about this one? I started mentoring a teenager in our church, and as I've watched him grow in his faith, it's changed me as much as it's changed him. Or maybe it could be this story. Hey, you know, God used a simple conversation I had with a coworker that first brought them to church and eventually led them to Christ, and now we're studying the Bible together every week. I just want to remind you this morning, the reality is that playing it safe in life can actually be very risky. Because sometimes the worst risk you can take is being afraid to take one, to take a risk. Well, maybe the worst mistake you could make is being so afraid of mistakes that you just don't do anything. Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful for this unique guy named Benaiah, who had courage and bravery to face some very fearful things. God, I would pray that we'd never have to face that kind of fear from the outside, but a lot of us are facing some fear from the inside. And it's different, Father, than facing a danger. It's just an uneasiness that we have on the inside that keeps us from becoming the people that you want us to be or moving us in the direction that we need to be moving. And so I pray today that we would trust in you to give us the victory, to walk with us in the midst of challenges and storms, to face the lions that we're going to face in this life, that Satan really it would intend to defeat us, but you would intend to give us victory. So we pray for that today, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.